It's the winter season finale of The Vampire Diaries, season 8, episode 7. The next time I hurt someone, it could be you, Katie Campbell. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
The church bells in town.
Yeah,
Katie.
Yeah,
yeah.
Nervous.
You're like getting all soulful with it. You have the hand raised like you're praising Jesus all at the same time.
Loved it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to, sadly, our very last Christmas episode of Vampire Diaries.
Got the chills.
I know. This is the last time we're going to see everyone gather for Christmas, and boy, did it start off with a bang. I'm Tiana Hobson, and joining me, I've got Katie says yay, Campbell.
Yeah, Katie says yay. You can find me on Twitter at KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with three E's Campbell.
Sam D.
Hey, guys, you could find me on Twitter and Instagram at SamD43, and me and Roxy are manning the live chat tonight, so keep on chatting.
Word. Fist bump. And a very special treat for everyone. Here's Roxy Stryer.
Woo! Is that applause that I hear?
No way!
I can't believe I'm here for the last Christmas episode. It just feels right.
It does.
Sorry, Jordana.
Jordana just couldn't be here, so luckily we were lucky that...
After you guys kicked me off the panel, then you came begging for me back.
Roxy, I need to stop telling people that because you're going to be telling the truth.
Because it's the truth. It's what happened.
It's not. I'm going to write a memoir about this one day and tell the truth.
Oh my God, it's going to be called The Tiana Diaries.
And then we're gonna make a show about it.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember when we used to make Katie sing at the beginning of a lot of episodes, like "Been to the Year 3000"
by the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, you sang that whole intro one time.
Yeah, I like it. It was really good.
Yeah, she's
Thank
good.
Thank you.
Now
Thank
she's
you.
Nervous to sing. Apparently,
it's because I'm here. You know, she gets nervous.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Roxy, for being here.
Are you kidding? Thank you guys so much. I really, really, this is awesome.
Yay! So. Tonight's episode, we're talking about, it's Christmas time, and a lot's happening. So, I'm just going to start out and say it, because my notes are all over the place, so just bear with me. Stefan, 1917, it's Ripper Stefan, but the whole time that he was doing his whole thing with Cade, like their little meeting, I was just angry because Cade said he could have one more day to spend with Caroline. And then he took that whole day away from him. Yeah. And they got, like, 8 minutes.
And you thought Cade would be true to his word because he's such a good guy.
He's in a suit. He's in a suit. You can't be in a suit, a handsome devil in a suit, and then not go on your word.
If he didn't keep his word there, what's to say he's going to keep his word about the one-year deal?
That's a really good point. I was going to say at least he got a good trade at the end, but I don't know how that's all going to play out. And I still... They introduced us to Cade in the flashbacks. It's kind of like you feel sorry for him, and he was a nice person and was trying to use his powers for good. And then I get it. He got revenge on all those people, but, like, so he's... Why did that make him just want to be that evil to everybody then? I mean, I get it. He's burnt, but, like, still. I thought he was good at the beginning. He switched so fast.
And that's why he's looking for people like that who could go either way, the people that were like himself.
He called Elena that, didn't he, at one point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that made me really sad.
But I kind of agree.
Yeah.
I think she went good, but she could have not.
Elena was doomed from the start. She was the doppelganger, and someone else would have found her.
She could have turned out like Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But then, I mean, he was also right because, you know, through his meeting with Stefan, he kind of is trying to prove to Stefan, this is why you are going to be great at this job. And so he takes him on a journey. It was kind of like a Christmas carol.
Yeah, a Christmas carol.
Yeah.
I wanted that to be the whole episode, kind of, though. Like, I wanted them to take him to a couple different instances and times. I liked that he did that, and I thought it was the perfect platform for the writers to really, like, Christmas it up with that, you know, Christmas carol theme, and they just kind of dropped it.
Well, we got past and present, right? Present meaning, like, kind of the Elena, the school. I mean, although that is technically the past, but no future.
Well, the future is that he turned off his switch.
Right.
Okay. Riding off into the sunset.
I'm so glad we didn't get more of that because it was definitely my least favorite part of the episode. I have so much, like, we have so much to do on this show right now, and we have so few episodes left. I ain't got no time for flashbacks. We have spent years with them. I've seen it. And unless you're about to make a huge point, which this one did, but I didn't need it to be drawn out more, Do not take me back anywhere. And the thing that pissed me off even more than this is, can you guys get over Stefan saying, I wouldn't have done that on Christmas. Not on Christmas.
I did a lot of bad things, but Christmas was my day off.
Yeah, when
guys.
He was Ripper Stefan, he really didn't care that much about everything. And we know that he wrote those names down of his victims, but we've never really seen Ripper Stefan sit there in remorse like we did see this episode. But I felt like it was kind of weird. I felt like he wasn't really Ripper Stefan in those flashbacks.
He was sitting there, like, curled up and with his big beard and sitting there all mopey. Is your humanity even off? Because why do you think you wouldn't have done that on Christmas? Did you lie to us this whole time? Was your switch on and you still were a Ripper? I didn't understand what they were trying to say. Right. If you have no emotions, then why are you sulking in the corner? And why are you saying, I never would have done that on Christmas?
What? A lot of people in the chat, including Emma DePierto, said that they think Stefan will take the job of the devil. That way he can protect the people that he loves.
Okay.
Come on.
I mean, I'll be really pissed if that happens.
But, I mean, again, going back to last week when I was talking about Pirates of the Caribbean, it's kind of the same situation. If that were to happen, it's like, Turner ended up taking over for Davy Jones to actually do the job the right way and to actually help the people he was supposed to help, so.
But would he be able to be with Caroline then?
I don't think so. Not at all. If he were to take that.
So it would be the ultimate sacrifice would be the end of the series, and the wedding we see would be Enzo and Bonnie's.
That would make me really sad for all of our characters not to be happy at the end.
Yeah. I mean, we did, last week we had the question this is the Vampire Diaries. How do you think this is going to go? You think everything's going to go well?
Vampires here, Katie.
It's okay.
It's okayed.
But last week, do you remember we were asking, so if Stefan is going to go off, you know, and work for Cade, does that mean he can still be with Caroline, like, when he's off? And we kind of got the answer this week, I think-ish, that he could. I don't think he's going to.
Well, I think that if he was going to be Ripper Stefan or do this for Cade for a long time, he could be with Caroline because he could take his time killing people. But the point of only making the contract for a year is that he's going to do what he was supposed to do in a lifetime in 1 year. So I don't think he has time for that either. I think he's going to be killing, and having to produce. So I don't think he'll be able to see Caroline much.
What is this whole deal anyway? I didn't think that the girls were ever going to be able to, okay, I killed enough people for you, okay, I'm done, see you later. I didn't even know that was an option.
It's until they find the next people to replace them. But that's why they wanted the kids.
Why would they need to if they live forever?
Yeah,
You're talking about Sybil and Celine right now?
Yeah, but
they wanted out of it. I think that Stefan is now coming in and making his own deal, because in seeing these flashbacks, you can see that in 1917 is when Cade decided, oh, he's going to be great. So I think that in the 1 year that Stefan will be Ripper Stefan, he'll bring in more souls than those two girls did during their tenure as his workers. So the idea is that he's going to get all this stuff in 1 year and then be set free.
Cade's going to want to keep getting souls. Even when the brothers are done, he's going to want somebody else to get souls for him. So then what is Stefan going to find somebody in this 1 year to offer up?
One of two things. Cade right now is banking on the fact that Stefan isn't going to want to leave and he's going to enjoy the job. So I think that's choice one, option one. But option two would be that they find somebody else, which may or may not be somebody like the twins or two other vampires. I mean, there's always going to be more people.
Yeah, I think that right now Cade's whole mindset is that you're turning off your humanity. You're turning into Ripper Stefan. Nothing's going to get you back from this.
Because do we honestly believe in our heart of hearts that Caroline could bring Stefan back from turning his humanity off?
But Elena could.
Maybe.
Sorry. I just had to say it.
Maybe Elena will come back and that's what will save him.
But how sad would that be? If Caroline tries to get Stefan to turn his humanity back on, can't, and then Elena wakes up and Elena gets Stefan too and Damon too, and that's how the show ends?
Well,
That is so sad.
It's what the show started out with.
It's the tagline.
Well, Katie would say yay to that, because we all know Katie is Delana forever.
It's so sad.
I want to actually know your thoughts on Celina right now, because I was thinking about you the other day when we were talking about this, and I was like, are you hating Damon as much as we are right now?
Yeah, it's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And in tonight's episode, we'll get to that one moment, but I'm so confused by him. Do you or do you not remember her? Do you or do you not feel for her? Is your humanity on or is it not on? Because if it's not, then why would you have done what you did in this episode? And it's so infuriating because we hear from Enzo that he was able to hold out. Damon just so easily folds.
What I don't think I don't like about him right now this season is, okay, we've seen Damon Duke go bad all the time throughout the whole series, but right now he's kind of like this depressed version of that, and who's like given up hope, and it's just, I don't think it's fun to watch all the time. I mean,
it sucks that Damon can't be good without Elena.
Yeah.
And that they are showing that this relationship is so codependent.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that Damon, because of Elena, maybe she was the catalyst of him being able to be whole by himself or anything like that. But it's not showing anything great that we're rooting for them to be together, knowing that he literally can't be without her
mm-hmm.
unless he wants to be an evil prick.
Right.
Am I not allowed to use that word?
I mean, you I said it, good. So. You already said it, so.
It's true, it came out.
But no, I like where your head's at, Roxy, because, you know, you always think of codependent relationships being, like, the girl needing the guy. We see it all the time on television, and right now it's the guy who can't do anything without her. Mm-hmm. And so, as weird as that is to say, I kind of like it that way. Like, with the tables turned a little bit. It's like, yeah, girl power.
Well, I just would prefer no one to be that way and just be them their own person.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm really annoyed with all the other characters, too, because Rick, Matt, are you kidding me? His yeah. humanity's not on right now. You can't just murder him. That's rude.
I mean...
right?
It is rude. Yeah. It's very rude. But I think that what a lot of people in the chat last weekend from comments were saying was just more of, like, Damon has always done bad things to these people, even when his humanity was on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they were justifying it. But I agree with you, Roxy. It's like, hey, don't kill a guy while he's already down. You know, his humanity isn't on. He's making bad life choices. A siren is in his head.
He did the Tyler thing, and that's unforgivable. But I'm surprised we haven't seen a scene where Caroline's like, I remember that time that I turned my humanity off and was the worst of the worst. She's just like, oh, you're so mean. Stop it, Damon. You are really bad, Caroline.
I wasn't as bad.
I really, really, I was thinking about this episode. I was thinking about how fun she was with her humanity switch off.
Remember her crimped hair?
I loved it.
That was
amazing.
Oh my
gosh. I like that.
But she was an evil, evil girl at the time.
She was good at it.
Yeah, really good. That was a great role for her.
Mm-hmm.
She rocked it. But she was bad. I'm surprised that doesn't come to her mind at all.
Well, maybe that's why she's kind of forgiving. I mean, you know, she said...
Well, no, last week she was ready to kill Damon.
Right, first. Or for her kids, you know, but
he
feel like...
He didn't kidnap them. I still stand by that.
I feel like maybe she, though, does know, and that's why she says, I know one day you're going to come ask for my forgiveness. So she's trying to look past it. She's still going to say, what are you doing? Why are you... Stop this. You know, you're... Even though he has his switch turned off, I think she still sees that, okay, I understand that, but I'm still not going to be happy in this situation, but I'll still forgive him someday, possibly.
For me, as a fan, too, and I feel like I'm one of their friends, like, he has...
We definitely are.
Yes. he's gone past the point of forgiveness for me, and mm-hmm. that's what I was saying before the show started. I'm nervous that this is going to be over so soon, because my heart is not going to be ready to forgive him by March.
So if this had been the second to last season, you would have been able to forgive him with longer?
Yeah, if he would have turned around, but now it's like, I mean, we don't have much time left, and this is going to be the thought that I have left about him, which
what
I hate.
What if they fast forward?
Maybe.
Will that help with your forgiveness, or literally it hasn't been enough time in our timeline?
It hasn't been enough time in our timeline, but if they do fast forward, it would be easier for me. Because I'm like, okay, I'm not really one of them, and like they've been through stuff, and they've forgiven him over time, so maybe I can. So yeah, I guess that's right. That's really the only way.
I was thinking about that since Stefan made the deal for 1 year.
Like, right before we went on hiatus.
Right before we went on hiatus. I'm like, okay, so are we... And fans in the chat role, please let us know if you've heard anything. Are we getting a time jump of some time in between before the end of the season? Because it's not going to be a year by the time we get to the end of the series at this point, and Stefan would still be Ripper Stefan in this scenario.
I would bet my life on it.
So
that we're going to get some time jump, whether it's when we come back or whether it's for the finale.
Yeah, I think like a couple months at least.
We're definitely getting a time jump. There's no way the show isn't going to do that.
Mabry Montgomery in the chat said that Candace said there is going to be a mini time jump.
Okay.
Which I think there has to be.
Yeah,
think about the word mini. In life, mini probably means a few days, a few months. But in vampire time, mini could literally mean 20 years, and that's tiny. So we don't know what it's going to look like. I would guess we are going to take a 6 month to 1 year
jump.
Jump.
Mm-hmm. I can see that happening, too. Mm-hmm. And so this Christmas dinner definitely doesn't go as planned. First of all, poor Caroline, just trying to be the perfect host, perfect little housewife with her fancy dress and her food all ready, and then uninvited guests show up, Damon and Sybil.
I was glad that the reason for her trying to be the perfect host, though, was to give Stefan a great last day, because if it had just been Caroline being like, but I need dinner to be perfect, because that's who I am, I would have just wanted to shake her and be like, Caroline, stop! But this wasn't about her. I really feel like she was trying to do this for somebody else, so I understood why she made all the decisions she was making.
Yeah, and I mean, it says a lot. I mean, she could have said, Damon, you know, get out. He probably wouldn't have gotten out, but she never once was like, you need to leave. You know, she let them stay and knew that, you know, just brace ourselves for impact at this point because the plane is going down.
But for me, and I feel like this with this season, I feel like these are different writers and almost different writers picking up every episode, and they're not exactly picking up where we left off. Like, I do not think Caroline would have let Damon and Sybil into her home after the whole thing with the kids. And I mean, she may unfairly have blamed Damon last week, but she still blamed everything on him. And so I'm like, really?
Do you think this was about the pitchfork and the planning, yes, though?
That, I think she was just playing the smarter game there. She's like, okay, well, come on in, but I'm going to try to get Sybil drunk and know where the pitchfork is so then I could take her out right now.
Yeah,
right.
I think she started, the wheel started turning, but originally I was like, I don't know.
Well, because even Sybil says, hey, yeah, the kids are kidnapped, but I didn't do that. I helped free them, which her and Damon were on the side of, hey, I'm going to find a way to get these kids free. They never once had the interaction of being involved in the kidnapping of those girls.
Yeah, but that wasn't out of the kindness of their heart. Yeah, no, they obviously had a plan. I think that what this show is trying to say is that, for me, Caroline has had more growth than any other character on The Vampire Diaries. From start to finish, what we met her as, mm-hmm, and now what she is. Katie, I think you were dead on. She's playing a smarter game. And years ago, we wouldn't have seen her do that. She was always very rash and, you know, quick to make the decision. And usually it was neurotic and the wrong one. And now we see her staying level-headed and more calm and trying to, you know, outlast Survivor.
She's a mom now, you know?
Yeah, true. And she's got kids. Oh, yeah. My God, I wanted to kill Rick for what he said. So rude.
Oh,
about
last,
the kids.
Oh,
yeah.
Last week?
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a knife in the back. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about why Damon's actually there. So he says that he's actually there to bring his Christmas gift, which is to kill one of the people at the table. And then Sybil goes on a rant, and all eyes just immediately point to poor Matt's dad.
Yeah. And well, they have been, and we've not gotten any answers as far as Matt's dad.
I hate him.
He's just around, and we're like, hey, dude, what's your name?
Damon.
Peter, right?
Yeah, Peter Maxwell, okay. Is that what his name is? Damon actually has what Sybil wants, right?
Yeah,
found it, so where did he put
it? Is it
that?
A watch?
Oh, I can't remember.
I think it was a watch that was the family heirloom,
I
right?
It looked like an egg or something. I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah, I think that she thought, or he thought it was the watch, and then he found it later on when, like, the storage unit fell on him.
Right. Oh, yeah, he went into the thing and found the thing that looked like an egg. We didn't know what it was.
So that's interesting.
Exactly.
He's got his own game going on with Sybil, even. But why did Damon...
But I don't know if he knows that that's what she's there for, because she approaches him when Damon's out of the room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she approaches him on their own.
But he never brought it back to her, and that's something she was asking for a long time, so it's still something that she wants.
That's true.
But also, too, Damon coming in saying, I'm going to kill one of you guys. What was that? Like, why? Don't you have a day before you're going to kill for Cade?
I think his day started three days ago.
Perfect.
I think he was already, like, in line of being on that route.
I also don't know if he was actually going to kill somebody. I think he was just playing games, like, ha ha ha.
Oh, really?
I'm not sure.
Mind games.
Makes me just hate him.
But here's my question, because he really went after Matt's dad, and knowing that he already has what Sybil's looking for, it begs the question of why Damon said, I'm gonna kill someone, and then attacked Matt's dad in a way of, like, getting him to confess why he left town.
He's just trying to mess things up, destroy people's lives.
It felt like he was just trying to put a bridge between Matt and his dad and their newfound relationship, as opposed to actually causing physical harm to people.
And I can't believe Matt hasn't asked those questions already.
I know, and here's the thing, two things. I think that Matt, you know, he said to Matt, Damon said to Matt, you don't even look sorry that you killed me. So maybe that's his way of, you know, trying to get back at Matt, like, okay, I'm going to hurt your dad, mm-hmm. and I'm going to hurt your relationship. You killed me, so here, I'm getting even with you. And the second thing is that when his dad left at the end, he got out of the car and Matt sat there not talking to him, I was so annoyed because you know he was gone for the wrong reasons, whatever the reasons were. Get over it. You decided to kind of semi-forgive him. How are you going to get mad and play the silent treatment right now?
That's the thing. I'm so confused. If you were ever going to let him back in your life, you would think that he would have let him back in under certain, like, to deal with it himself and be like, okay, I know my dad did this, but I'm going to let him back in. What did he think the reason was going to be?
Yeah.
Something better than that.
Okay, so... And
I was sleeping with someone else. I ran off because I was in love.
Is that better? I was sleeping with someone else?
I mean, I don't know if that's better, but to just say, oh, I woke up one day, my wife was pregnant, and I was ashamed, so I ran off, like, that... Well, isn't
he wasn't
any closure.
Sam, what do you got?
Okay, sorry. So this chat's going off with several things. First of all, there's this whole situation about a ball and chain, and they're like comparing it to Pokeballs, which I think is funny.
That's the dark object they're looking for, you mean?
So.
Yeah, so it's like the egg thing or whatever that was, like that is the ball.
So maybe he did give it back to her, and now she's looking for a second part of the object, and he didn't get it.
And it's to trap the devil. She's looking for the chain. That's what they're saying. This is the thing that you can use to trap the devil.
So maybe Damon brought the egg home, and now Sybil's looking for the second part, and she thinks that Matt's dad has that as well.
Oh, so it's two pieces?
Yeah, maybe. It is, that's what the chat's saying. And also, though, I mean, every week we've gotten this kind of hint that Matt's dad has something to do with this whole siren tie, whether he knows it or not. And they never gave us a conclusion on that. So for me, like, it didn't come out of the blue. I'm like, okay, cool. They're going to give us an answer for this question.
I think that Matt's dad, this is predictions territory, but I do think he's going to end up having to save the day in a big way and end up dead. Like, something, and that's how he's going to redeem himself. Because why else do we care that they've introduced his dad in the final season?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is a weird character to introduce in the final season.
Right.
And I think that's why I was just like, okay, they randomly introduce us to this guy who we stopped talking about even after, like, season one.
Right.
And then Damon's, like, threatening his life almost immediately, and it's like, why? What's so important about this person? That's why I'm like, Damon didn't pick him for no reason. Like, there was a reason why Damon went on the attack to Matt's dad, and that's why I'm like, okay, what's his in-game plan? Because Damon is a selfish, evil person.
Ooh.
But he always has an end goal that no one else is thinking.
So playing into this, Let Your Light Shine 17 says, but why would Sybil want to trap Cade? She's free from him. Which I think is interesting because we don't know what Damon's trying to do right now. And we don't exactly know what Sybil's trying to do right now or what she was trying to do when she had a heart. So I think that maybe they were in cahoots, but maybe those were two separate things. And Damon right now could possibly have his humanity turned on again because of what happened with the necklace. So maybe his end game is to trap the devil and to free him and his brother somehow.
Do you think that maybe she kind of likes Damon? I mean, I know that she was a siren and she wants to be the center of attention of anyone's head that she's sirening, but do you think maybe it goes a little bit further than that with Damon?
Well, I think that was kind of like in the street when he gave her that gift. She was kind of alluding towards was that she's like, there's something happening here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, so then she wants to trap the devil's soul so that Damon can be free of that and she could have a life with
Damon. But they're both immortal right now, so she doesn't necessarily need Cade to be out of the picture.
Well, no, because why
wouldn't she want Damon to be trapped?
So that he doesn't have to kill like that, but he can
but
run
she doesn't
off.
Really care.
She doesn't care.
Run off without his humanity, and they can run off together and not have anything to do with Cade because Cade caused her misery.
But the reason that their relationship works is because his humanity is off, and because she's gone in his head and erased most of his memories of Elena and replaced her in them.
I hear what you're saying, though. He could keep his humanity off and just not have to do work for Cade. She just wants him all to herself.
Yeah.
Maybe that was what it was. Maybe. But what would his plan be? Would his plan be the same plan?
Well, don't forget that she replaced a lot of his memories, which I don't think they are really following through on that storyline, which they just started this season. It's not hard. It's not like it was seasons ago, but instead of Elena, wasn't it Sybil in his mind, those memories?
But, yes, but not the necklace one. We didn't see that one.
Right. And I think there are so many more that Elena's in that she doesn't know about, that she didn't replace herself back in. So I think he still has the memory of Elena, and that is his end goal no matter what. It'll always be her.
So yeah. he still remembers that she's, you know, Sleeping Beauty, whatever you want to call it, that when Bond... Do you think he still remembers all that?
I remember that episode he says, you didn't hear, we broke up. Like, we're not a thing anymore, when he's talking to Tyler.
Yeah, I think
so. He remembers she exists.
Yeah, he knows she exists, but the main memories, like, she went and took their biggest life moments and took those memories away. So when the necklace comes out, that's a smaller memory that she might have just missed. So for that hint of a second, you see him remembering and getting the feelings, and almost like his humanity is going to come back on, or... like Roxy said, maybe it did come back on and now he's just pretending, but it was one of those moments of like, hey, this is who you actually are, and then that's what led to him taking out her heart, which I don't know why he thought he was going to kill her, because she made the same deal with Cade, she's immortal.
I think it was more of a, I ripped your heart out, so I'm not
going to happen.
Yeah, and also, didn't she see Caroline hand that present to Damon?
Yeah.
She was like, oh, you got this for me?
I wonder if she made a deal with Cade and then Damon made a side deal and she's not going to come back. I wonder if he put something in there, was like, P.S., whatever you say with her, that's history. She's not working for you anymore.
She was in the previews, I think.
She was in the previews for when it comes back, though.
Well, I watch online, so they don't have previews. Let me live in my own fantasy world.
Otherwise, it was a great thought, Roxy.
Thanks. Because I'm thinking, we have to wrap these two girls at some point. We can't have them go all the way to the finale with Sybil and the sister, right?
If we don't have them go to the finale, they'll just find someone new to bring in for the finale, and I'd rather have it be characters, not new characters.
Why do we have someone new? We've got all of our actual characters we need to wrap.
Well, the people who we all want to see come back are the Michelsons, but they're all kind of sleepover
Kai,
on the originals
guys,
right
Kai,
now.
Kai, and
Kai's
on Supergirl.
He tweet No. He tweeted something. A fan tweeted to us last week and said
he was supposed to be at TVD Orlando this weekend.
Yeah, and then he said, "Sorry, I'm shooting in Atlanta or something." Like,
yeah, he said, "Sorry, production changed, so I'll be there Saturday instead." And then I believe it was Ian who posted a picture of all of them hanging out, and it looked like it was before. It was the same time frame of when he said, "Sorry, guys, I'm going to be late to TVD Orlando because I'm shooting." So it's not like they were in Orlando all together hanging out. It was before they got there.
And Paul Wesley and Phoebe.
That's who it was.
Yeah, they were all in a picture.
I was going to say, I highly doubt he posted it, because if you look at Ian recently, he is so degaff about this show.
Yeah, he doesn't talk
he
about
wants
it.
Off of this.
Well, they ruined his character. I mean, I would be really pissed.
He's a producer.
Too.
Yeah.
He has a voice in what his character does as a producer.
But does he?
I think he's just done. I think him and Nikki want to go live on an island somewhere. Remember when we asked him at Comic-Con and he was like, "I just want to get drunk on an island with my brother and have that be the end of the show. I don't care about anything else at all."
Yeah.
He just really doesn't care anymore.
He's out.
And I think it's kind of funny because they've written that into his character now. It's like maybe they saw he didn't care and they're like, "All right, well, he's not going to be able to fake it for the season, so let's just make him not care."
Yeah,
give up anything.
But I do think that there's a good chance of Kai, and then there's also the rumors that if...
If
she comes back, she'll come back as Catherine... if Nina Dobrev comes back.
Sam, is that something you'd want?
Well, the new rumor is 3 episodes. Nina Dobrev is, like, rumored confirmed for the last three.
Yeah. I've heard that recently, too. People have been tweeting, being like, "Roxy, can you confirm or deny?" I don't know who you guys think I am.
Speed down Julie Fleck. Yeah. Hey, Julie.
I just got the chills when you said that. What? I'm so excited. The
Catherine?
3 episodes.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing.
I don't know if it's true.
I don't know if it's true either.
I definitely think at least finale.
Definitely. And let's talk about the twins and Matt and Bonnie and Celine and, oh my gosh, it was just a lot. So I'm loving Bonzo.
It's all over the place.
Gonzo, whatever. I'm just so sad of how they're being used right now, because everyone else is pissing me off, and here they are like, "Oh, I'm taking you to Paris as a Christmas gift. Oh, really? I bought you a pack of Hanes t-shirts." and they're so darn cute, and then you have everyone else who's just pissing you off, and then they're not even, like, in most of the episode. I'm like, bring me more of that.
It's hard because we've been waiting for happiness for Bonnie for 7 years, so I feel like this deserves its own season itself. Like, just Bonnie being happy, I would just watch that. But we don't have time to just focus on them going to Paris and living the la-la life. So I feel you, T, because I feel bad for them. They don't get to be on their honeymoon. I don't mean an actual one. They don't get to, like, be off just frolicking in the field. But that wouldn't be right because all of their friends need their help.
Well, they're going, right? At the end of this episode, they're going to Paris.
I don't think they're going to make it. I don't think they're going to make it to Paris.
If we have a time jump, they can have fun for the time jump and then come back.
We could see some Facebook pics, you know, like their nice time together. I was thinking if it was any other character than Bonnie, this behavior, we would be so mad, I think. You know, it's like, what are they doing? She's having sex all day in bed and, like, all of her friends are being threatened with their lives. But it's Bonnie and she deserves it. So it's, like, totally fine.
I was thinking that too, Sam, only because earlier this season when Enzo was still away and Bonnie was like, Caroline, you're happy and my love is gone. Like, how dare you think I should be happy for you right now? I was thinking about this at the end of the episode. Caroline is literally losing everything. She's losing her fiancé and her children all in the same night. And Bonnie is over here having sex all day and, like, hanging out. And I was like, I'm not blaming Bonnie for this. It's just, if it was any other character, I'd be like, hello, you were just yelling at her for doing exactly what you're doing when the tables were kind
of
turned.
Yeah. Exactly. None of this is going to matter, though, because Bonnie's going to become a witch again. So
a tuning fork thing.
Yeah, we're leading up to that. So then Bonnie will be able to be like, all right, I'm going to be in Paris, but I'm going to snap my fingers and deal with your problems, too. Like, it's chill.
Well, speaking of Bonnie, Andreas Kizzo, he says, I love how no one is trying to figure out Bonnie's storyline once Elena comes back. It's not that we're not. Like, we love Bonnie, but I think that they're going to work it out. I don't think Elena's going to come back with Bonnie dead.
She'll turn into a vampire to be with Enzo forever, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think Bonnie's going to turn into a vampire?
Yeah.
For sure.
She's in love with one.
She has to.
And that now it'll be her choice because she wants to be with Enzo forever.
Kind of like converting to, like, Catholicism when, like, you know, you find the person you want to love and they're like, hey, I gotta marry a Catholic.
Yeah, just like,
what about being a witch, though?
But that's what happened. You can't do that. You
can't convert him into being a witch.
You can be a witch and a vampire at the same time.
That's a heretic, right?
No, but when you die, do you stay witch? I don't think so.
When you died, you
what happened to Bonnie's mom?
Oh, you know, people talked about Bonnie's.
So did she have powers?
Well, people also are saying Grams is going to be coming back, which is interesting.
Jasmine Guy. Cool.
Yeah, so maybe we got a mention she'll of figure her. That out.
We got a mention of her today.
What did they say?
Grams used to say to her.
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's right. Well, also, though, we'll get to the Bonnie stuff in a little bit because she said some very interesting things.
We're talking about
Bonnie. Okay, cool. Awesome. I was like, I don't want to jump ahead. Well, remember she, like, had this, like, kind of, like, light bulb go off, and she was like, sirens, witches, like, we share a lot of the same things. Oh, gross. Like, I don't want to be like them. But, and all the people in the chat the entire time have been like, is she half siren? Like, what is this?
No, all magic was rooted in psychic energy is what Grams used to say. So I think that's just the connection right there.
And Bonnie used to think she had psychic stuff before she got her power. So I took it as, if this thing's affecting her, maybe it's the sign of her power is, like, coming back to her slowly, even, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, because we used this, didn't we use this and Bonnie was around before? Or was she not there when they took down Sybil the first time? I couldn't remember if Bonnie has been around when we've dinged this pitching fork before and if it had no effect on her versus now. It affected
No, because remember, it was just Sybil behind the glass, and we went, and Rick was like, I could do this all day.
No, I'm talking about, like, when they were coming out of the high school, and, like, Damon was with her, and they were first taking her down before they got her behind the glass in the armory.
Oh, but no, I think it was just him and Stefan.
Who was, like, watching from afar.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Bonnie wasn't there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I do think the whole siphon thing is going to come into play because I think I asked last week if, you know, the twins can take magic, can they give it? And I think, like, what goes in must come out. Like, I think they can. So I think that the twins will actually be a big part of helping Bonnie get her magic back by giving it to her.
The chat said, again, Let Your Light Shine said, Bonnie's mom lost her powers. There was an episode where she complained about her lost connection with nature. So I do think she would have to make that choice.
Well, mm-hmm. she just said, ew, she doesn't want to be connected to the sirens, so...
Because she only sees them as evil in what they're doing, but if she's connected to them, if that's her past, like, you don't necessarily have to go down that path that they mm-hmm. have chosen, mm-hmm. you know, of evilness. You could be a good siren who helps people.
Or she could just be a vampire.
Or yeah. that.
Like, vampires, there's good vampires, there's bad vampires. It depends what you choose to do with that power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then, I mean, speaking of good versus evil, you have Celine over here who's trying to make amends for all the wrong that she's done, or make okay. amends, air quotes.
I do love that the writers are just messing with us. It's like back and forth. Which one's a bad yeah. one? Which one's a good one?
Well, there's so many parallels between Stefan and Damon here with Celine and Sybil.
So mm-hmm. many. I just wanted to sing, like, JoJo, Too Little, Too Late, though, because come on, girl.
Yeah, she thinks that one thing is going
to
help her.
Well, she wants to start with one thing and then finally...
Katie.
You know, well, she wants to Katie. Be forgiven. Katie. But here's the thing.
No matter what she does, Kate's still going to torture her in exactly. hell when she dies.
That's the thing that I was confused about, is, like, the girls say, well, once you're already chosen by Kate, then you can't get away. Like, this is your fate. There's no redemption. People believe in redemption. That's not a thing, is what they've been saying the whole time. So why is Celine, like, I'm trying to find redemption. I don't understand that.
Well, maybe it's not necessarily the redemption, because she knows that her fate is already stuck in stone, but she's like, if this is already my fate, then why take down others with me? I think that she did truly love watching over those little girls, because, you know, that was her job. She was with them 24/7, so I do believe her when she says, I want to help bridge them back so they're not connected to me anymore. Still wouldn't have her babysitting anytime soon.
Well, I just want to give a shout out to the chat for making a ridiculous and hilarious comment. I'm not sure if you're serious or not, Andreas Kizzo, but Celine will become Alaric's wifey.
Before she turned out crazy, I kind of thought that's where it was headed.
That is, but they were insinuating that there was some chemistry between them.
I wouldn't be shocked if that's what happens.
Who do you think is most like Stefan then, you guys?
Really, Roxy?
Yeah, I would not be shocked.
Sorry, Katie.
No, that's okay.
Lark makes some weird choices.
But he just told Caroline that he had to get away from everything, which you weren't here last week, because it actually doesn't make sense what he's saying, because his daughters are, you know, siphons, and they attract magical powers wherever they go and magical energy. So being around vampires isn't necessarily the reason why they're always being sought.
It's, 100%.
It's themselves. Like, they're never going to be...
Which is also why I was annoyed with Cade saying to Stefan, you know, you ruined her life. No, you didn't ruin Elena's life. Elena was a doppelganger. Other mm-hmm. people were going to come after her. It's not like he was... If he didn't ever meet her, then she would have lived a normal life. I don't believe that.
She was so depressed. She literally was close to suicidal after her parents had died. And, you know, he brought her, like, light and happiness, but a lot of darkness. But, and also, if it didn't happen, we wouldn't have this amazing TV show. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
and that's what really matters.
I was just kind of on Kate's side there. A little bit.
I think that's why it hurt.
He brought up a very good point. True. Like, she was innocent of all of this. She didn't know supernatural anything was happening. The town was safe at this point. And then, as soon as Stefan stepped foot in there is when... the magical and mystical creatures all started coming back.
But Klaus would have... It might have taken longer because he didn't have all the domino effect after the Salvatore brothers went back.
So I think what we're saying is she could have been a grown adult, happily married with children by time Klaus and them even found out where she was.
But Klaus is smart.
So what, then they would murder her children and take away her life? That would have been even worse.
No, I'm just saying that, like, she could have already lived her full life before, you know, and already have lived and died before mystical powers even found out that she was around.
But now she got to find great loves, you know? So, what's really...
That her other loves wouldn't have been great.
Like Matt.
Yeah.
Well, listen, she found some great loves through this vampire...
I'm just saying that Cade, as evil as he is because he is the devil, homeboy's got some good points that he's making about how interfering in people's lives can have a negative effect on their whole emotional stability.
Yeah, well, you gotta take a chance.
Katie just doesn't want to live in a life where Elena and Stefan were never together.
I don't. I really don't.
I don't either.
Well, also, too, with Celine and Stefan and Damon and Sybil, who do you guys think is most like who when they're talking about the good versus the bad? Who do you think is...
I think it's the same as Stefan and Damon and Celine and Sybil. The same for all four of them. That back and forth, back and forth.
Like, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're as good and bad. I think there's good and bad in both.
Right, but who do you think... I feel like Celine, they're making Celine kind of more like Stefan.
Yeah, Let Your Light Shine 17 again says, Celine is Stefan, Sybil's Damon. Celine forced her sister onto the dark path just as Stefan did, but in the end, Sybil and Damon ended up being better suited for the darkness.
Yeah, and Ripper Stefan was cannibal Celine. You know?
Yeah, okay.
Kind of.
Well, because we do find out they had this old-time connection from 1917.
Mm-hmm. That was wild.
That she erased from his memory.
Yeah.
Just like she erased her memory from the twins.
He would never do that on Christmas.
You're really mad about that.
Yeah, I really am.
Because that was his whole argument. It's not a sound argument.
No,
you
still did it.
Yeah, Roxy hosts TV fights. She knows what a sound argument is. Yeah. That's not
you did
one.
Not make good points. I don't respect it. Negative one.
But so the twins, who are adorable and just kept asking for Celine, and then finally Alaric does allow Celine to come
over. Those kids scare me. I don't think they're adorable. I think they're freaky.
I mean, they're cute, but they also remind me of the two little girls in the hallway.
In The Shining.
Yeah. Like, they're always kind of dressed alike, you know, different colors.
I think they've got careers ahead of them. They freak me out, man.
Like the Olsen twins.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. And then they're always saying stuff in unison,
which is just creepy. Which is weird.
But, you know, they're still cute. And so now they're... Allegedly, their psychic link to Celine is now broken.
And they don't remember her at all. Which is why I feel like Rick could actually start dating her.
But just because they don't remember her doesn't mean Rick's gonna forget who she is.
Maybe he does.
Maybe she
makes him forget and he's on the path to run away and the four of them go live together. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Oh. Alaric makes a lot of dumb decisions. That would be the worst decision of Alaric's life.
What would have happened, though, to the twins if she didn't wipe the memories? Like, they always would have remembered her, but wasn't there something that was going to keep growing within them?
Their bond, their link.
Yeah.
And I think they were going to become violent, probably, because, you know, they're supposed to be taking out the evil people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it wouldn't have been, like, tamed and trained. And they just would have, I think, become very violent.
I see.
You good?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all on the same page now. Anything else you guys had to say about this episode?
Stefan and Caroline kissing under the mistletoe was cute.
Yeah, I forget about the Caroline moments.
Yeah, there are some good ones. I do like that they want each other to be happy and that they just want to be happy, but I don't believe that she is his ultimate true love, or vice versa. So it's hard for me to be like, well, he's going to come back in a year.
But who is?
Elena.
I think his true love is Elena. I just don't think that
That's her true love?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so sad.
His true love.
Interesting.
I think that he truly loves her.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I think that she truly loves Damon.
But what about his Dear Elena letter that happened?
I loved that episode. It was beautiful.
Because it was all like, Elena, I want you to tell Caroline that if I can't get out of this, like, I tried my best to get back to her.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning Caroline, not Elena.
Maybe. And I think he thinks that for sure right now.
Maybe he's convinced.
So you just
think
he's delusional and doesn't actually know who he's in love with.
I think he loves both of them.
I think he has love for Caroline, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she makes a good... They make good partners. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's like, you know, if we were talking about Once Upon a Time right now, I don't think that would be true love's kiss that would wake him up. I don't think so.
Mm. I do see that, like, at the end, and I know we're going to get so much hate for this, and I do like Caroline. Like, I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the stuff they've done with them is cool, but that last moment under the mistletoe when he's like, I love you, and she's like... I love you, too. That's not, like, grabbing each other like how Elena and, like, Damon and Stefan, with both of them, they're like, I love you. And like, I love you.
It's more passionate.
Yeah, and with them, it's like, I love you. I love you.
Which I think can still be a great love. But I do enjoy watching those little romantic moments between them. But in my heart, there will always be Selena first.
This is me rolling my eyes. Because if the show has taken me so far away from Stefan and Elena being in game and being together and force a new relationship into my life,
mm-hmm.
then that better be how we go. Because like how Sam's saying, not enough time for me to get over this between now and the end of the series, where all of a sudden Stefan wakes up from being Ripper Stefan. It's like, Elena, yeah, not enough time for me.
Yeah.
I cannot process that fast
enough. Yeah,
so they
can
just stay on the path they're on, even though, you know, Caroline for life. even though I'm still there, and I know that's not going to happen.
Maybe. I think Stefan knows. Stefan knows that it's not going to happen with him and Elena, and Caroline knows that it's not going to be her and Klaus, probably.
Well, I just want to give a shout-out to Peace Love Angie. Her name's Angie, obviously. She sent us a video today of Candace Akala and Paul Wesley being interviewed, and they're both like, where does all this Klaus stuff come from? Like, Candace Akala said
that... I think she's Candace King now, right?
Oh, you're right. Well,
Candace Akala King.
Yeah.
Okay.
She said, you know, she does not understand the whole Klaus thing. She doesn't ever want them to be together.
I know.
Okay.
That's what she said to me,
too. You know what,
too.
Though? A while
ago, this, in front of the bathroom, she said that.
And that could, be true that, you know, she feels that way, but it also could be, let me just throw you off real quick.
It also could be that she's not the writer, so.
Yeah, and these are interviews from a while ago, because this has been circulating, because every time I feel like Roxy and I get this video sent to us a lot, because anytime we mention Caroline, they're like, well, the actors don't even want it. They want Selena more.
If we got what the actors wanted, then Ian would end up drunk on an island with his brother.
maybe it's going that way.
But I'm just saying, like, yes, it's nice that, like, they paint Klaus as, you know, evil, terrible person, but we're dealing with vampires. Uh-huh. You're all evil, terrible people.
True.
Who have killed and done terrible things and aren't the best person for anyone to end up with. But let me live in my fantasy world a little longer and want to believe that Klaus is a better person and that he truly loves Caroline and that they're meant to be together.
You guys are delusional.
We ended this episode with both of the brothers driving off and both have their humanity switches turned off, and I feel like it's such a thing that we've done so much, is turning the humanity switch off.
He is so talented, though. When you saw that go in his face.
Yeah. He was about to cry, and you saw the pain, and then all of a sudden he's like, I can't take it anymore, and
the smile, so like that smirk.
He's so good.
We've seen that so many times, but I think is cool this time is that both brothers have it turned off together.
It's never happened before, I don't think, together, and then that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I don't even know if we're going to see it. I think we might time jump real quick.
Or they'll do flashbacks at least. I mean, we're going to see some of that.
Yeah, totally.
We'll get something.
Yeah. Should we do the drawing?
Before we get into predictions, thank you everyone who entered our fun little contest to win an autographed photo of
Michael Trevino,
a.k.a. Tyler, R.I.P. We have our
He's not gone.
Really?
Yeah, I really don't.
Of all the people who are gone, he's not gone. Yeah.
Well, if
he's
go to hell, then
we're
gone.
Yeah, we're going to hell.
Yeah,
we're gonna pick one of you guys.
Pick it live on air, so you know we're not cheating.
Yes,
this is all the names who entered, and Sam is swishing them about in our lovely compliment cereal bowl.
Yes. Okay. Oh, okay. Clearly true. He commented, JD is his name. I don't think we have your, Twitter info, so, contact us, or I'll find you on Twitter. It's fine, because it's from the iTunes review, but you left us a really lovely review. It was really funny. It was last week. We read it on air about him being a guy and having nobody to watch with.
Yay!
So,
congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
I've never seen JD spelled like that. It's J-A-Y space D, not like J-D. It's J-D.
J-D.
So, super exciting. You have won, and we will be contacting you with your address about sending you the autographed photo.
Yay! Go JD. Go JD.
Okay, and now let's get into some predictions for the last half.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
Katie, I know you have one.
Oh, well,
I mean, not written down, but just in your head.
In my head, you know, I think we're getting the time jump, and I think actually.
Okay, Katie's done.
Sybil, I'm done. We're going. We're moving on.
I obviously don't think we've seen the last of the sirens, and they're going to continue to play a part. We'll see a time jump. I think we might see Caroline turn almost dark because she's lost everything and very depressed, and I am just waiting for all these old characters to come back, including Kai. They're going to go to hell and see all of those guys, you know, good old friends meet up in hell. It's so much fun.
I think that one of our options is working for Cade. The other one is being damned to hell. Maybe we see somebody choose the option of being damned to hell, and that's how we end up getting there. And then we've got to get all of our players back. So I definitely think we're going, but we'll see how we get there.
Bonnie is going to bring them all out with her witchy powers, maybe, if she gets them back. Do you think Sybil and Caroline are going to bond?
No.
No. That was all fake.
We see Sybil coming to Caroline in the next episode. She's, you know, needs to vent.
No, she's dead. Remember I told you guys that?
but also, I don't see them becoming friends because, like you guys keep saying, Sybil was part of her kids getting kidnapped. So why would she just become besties with her?
Well, I don't mean besties and they're going to be all calling each other and they're going to be friends and work together. But do you think they're going to bond at all?
No.
They might use each other.
Yes. Yeah, to, like, find Damon and Stefan. But outside of that, I don't think they're doing anything. My prediction is that Bonnie and Enzo are going to have a June wedding. Boom. I said it. It's not They're stealing Caroline's wedding. Okay. That's my prediction.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Let us know what you guys think. Make sure you hit us up in the comment section below if you're watching on YouTube. Make sure you like us and leave us a comment. If you're listening to us on iTunes, make sure you go on, leave us a nice review, give us 5 stars. We really appreciate that. And in the meantime, where can everyone find you guys on the interwebs?
What's Batso? Everybody's hashtagging Batso. Who's that? I'm Roxy Stryer. You can find me at Roxy Stryer. Thanks for having me on,
Bonnie,
guys.
Bonnie, Matt, and Enzo.
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. Hey, guys, you can find me, okay. Sam Davidson, SamDavidsonEntertainment.com, Twitter and Instagram, SamD43. Just want to thank Serenity Sirens. How cool is that? They sent me these beautiful necklaces. That was pretty appropriate. And if you guys want, you can get 20% off. Just use their coupon code SIRENTRIBE and find them on Instagram.
Cool.
That's awesome. You guys can find me on Twitter at KatieEECampbell. That's Katie with 3 E's Campbell. Instagram at KatieCampbell13 and YouTube.com/KatieCampbellOnline.
And you can find me at the Tion Hobson. I hope you guys have a wonderful winter break. We'll be back the week of January 13th for the show. I'm so excited and can't wait to see how the season ends. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye. Batso.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.